This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good Saturday morning to you all. Welcome into WEEI. It is just after 11 o'clock here on Saturday, November the 1st, 2025. Hopefully everybody had a spectacular, spooktacular. Is that too cheesy for me to wish you? Whatever. Halloween last night, and you're doing well here on this morning. Dan Ball with you, and if you're listening here on the flagship WEEI 93.7 in Boston, good morning to you, as well as those listening on our affiliates in the Cape, Providence, Rhode Island, Springfield, Worcester, Portland, Maine, Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, as well as White River Junction, Vermont. If you're not listening on any of those affiliates or the flagship itself, you're probably listening on the free Odyssey app. And if you haven't downloaded that already, make sure you do. We're in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. 11-1, I have you for a quick two-hour sprint here this morning into early afternoon. And we're taking your calls early and often on the New England Patriots at 617-779-7937. As we begin, and later on in the show, by the way, we'll talk a bit about the Boston Bruins. My three stars of the season so far is a list that maybe you wouldn't have expected. At least the number one star for me is somebody who, admittedly, I got completely wrong when trying to evaluate this team going into the season. But it's a positive, so we'll get into that, as well as what I think is now a definitive goaltending conundrum, potentially controversy, that the Bruins have. We'll get into that a little bit later in the 12 o'clock hour, because you start Jonas Korpisalo against the New York Islanders, you have yourself a backup goalie. You start him against the Buffalo Sabres after starting him against the Islanders. Now you kind of have a new starting goaltender. So we'll talk more about that as the Bruins get ready to take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Celtics coming off of a win against the Philadelphia 76ers. Was it the most aesthetically pleasing victory for the Seas last night? No, but they've clawed their way back to 500, and that's really what matters. So we'll try to sort through what we've seen through six games, take some of Justin Turpin's takeaways from that on the WEEI website as well. But we'll begin with the New England Patriots, and we begin with people who call themselves experts, because as has been made no secret this week here on WEEI, the trade deadline is coming up in the NFL. And I wanted to start by resuming a conversation that we had a week ago, because we got in deep into the weeds into, okay, so what's at the top of your wish list for the New England Patriots at the trade deadline? And I landed on the position of running back a week ago. We'll get to that in just a moment. There was a pretty loud group that also wanted a pass rusher, which I understand. We got into the wish list game on WEEI Afternoons earlier this week, where the guys argued for their position of need. It was pass rusher for Ted Johnson. Surprise, surprise. It was swing tackle for Andy Hart, which was something that I really hadn't heard mentioned all that much. I mean, it makes sense from a depth perspective. If you lose Morgan Moses, who, again, hasn't put together a consistent 17-game season in years in his career, if you lose him, all of a sudden you're talking about Marcus Bryant starting games. You're talking about guys who really you don't want to see on an NFL offensive line. So I understood the thought process, and then Nick Fitzy Stevens mentioned the cornerback position, which – I was a little surprised by, admittedly. I thought if you were going to go in the secondary, you're going with where the Patriots just made another move to trade a safety away in Kyle Duggar. So those are all of the positions that came out on our wish list conversation from a week ago. Now you look at where we sit 1 week from last Saturday. Patriots win again. That's great. But in the process, Ramondre Stevenson ends up on the injury report, and he is not going to play tomorrow. So a position that I think a lot of Patriots fans already viewed as thin just got significantly thinner. And say what you will about Stevenson and his, you know, propensity to put the ball on the ground and his over-generosity when giving the ball to the other team. He has had his moments in recent weeks, and he's really the only healthy running back that you have on your depth chart, or at the time healthy running back on your depth chart that you know can run between the tackles. I liked the progress that it seems like the Patriots play calling made with Travion Henderson a week ago. They finally got him to the outside. They got him around the edge and finally started to open him up a little bit. But now you're looking at a guy who has had exactly zero success running between the tackles as an NFL running back. And that's kind of your option at this point. So running back became, for me, what was already my number one item on the wish list to simply a must address at the trade deadline for the New England Patriots. And then, for anybody who was in the pass rush category, the Pats not only trade Kyle Duggar, but move Keon White. And that's also its own side topic. I understand the thought process on both players, why you chose to move off of them. Duggar, it seemed like his days were numbered as soon as this team began camp this year. It was a pretty big shock to the system for a lot of fans of this team that of the two longstanding members of the safety room, it was Peppers who was moved off of by the team and not Duggar. I think that was a surprise to more people than it wasn't. Now both of those guys are gone, and you've done the same thing now at your defensive end position with Keon White, who just has no real athletic flexibility, the ability to turn his hips, as Ted Johnson was talking about earlier this week. He queued up Shakira's Hips Don't Lie to understand the fact that he just doesn't have the mobility to be able to keep up with the kind of athleticism that you're facing in the NFL today. So both of those players moved off of by the Patriots, opening up the conversation that both of those spots on your defense could probably use an addition. You end up signing John Saunders off of the Miami Dolphins practice squad to add to your secondary. But again, you're talking about a guy who was not good enough to be on the active roster for the Miami Dolphins this year. Maybe he was a guy that was slept on, and you know, 30 other teams other than the Patriots didn't view the skill of John Saunders. And I hope you're right. I hope you get him into a better system with a better coaching staff, a better culture, all that kind of crap, and you're able to maximize whatever this kid's potential is. But the fact of the matter is that he wasn't viewed as good enough by the Miami Dolphins. The should have fired their coach weeks ago and should have found a way to send their quarterback on a rocket to the sun weeks ago, Miami Dolphins. He wasn't viewed as good enough to be on their active roster. So to me, that's not a good enough addition. That's not that checks that box at the deadline addition. It's a great guy to have in the mix. Great guy to have as a depth piece on a team that I still believe depth is a major, major concern. It kind of amazes me how committed Mike Vrabel and company are to the culture and the, for lack of a better term, because I hate using this term, the vibe of the New England Patriots, and establishing a new leadership group, new voices within the locker room, and a new just dynamic of veteran leadership in that room. They're so committed that you're trading depth off of a team that lacks depth in significant ways. It was really that important to move off of Kyle Duggar and Keon White for whatever reason. We landed on the analogy earlier this week when you're picking apples. That's where Nick Fitzy Stevens' brain went. When you're picking apples, You have a bag of reds, and all of a sudden you have two green apples that just kind of sneak your way in there. That was the analogy that we kind of landed on with Kyle Duggar and Keon White, and it's fair, But this roster also has a lack of depth almost everywhere you look. Amazingly enough, one of the spots that doesn't seem to have a lack of depth right now is the wide receiver position. Something that if you asked me during the preseason, what's the number one need they're going to have at the deadline or next offseason, I think everybody would have gone, oh, wide receiver. Absolutely. Stephon Diggs, Pop Douglas. We were excited to see Efton Chisholm emerge as the slot receiver of the New England Patriots this offseason. That's how desperate we were at the time. So that leads me to this. What are the quote-unquote experts saying about the Patriots at the trade deadline? And we begin with Diana Russini, whose reporting is come under fire a bit this week. Interesting. But I'll give you this, and we can go from there. The Patriots are searching for a pass rusher but feel good about their offensive weapons. Running back could be a possibility because of recent injuries. First of all, if you're only looking at running back because of recent injuries, I think you're misrepresenting what you had in that room to begin with, but I digress. She reports they checked in with the Miami Dolphins on the availability of Jalen Phillips, which is a really fascinating player to target. 18th overall pick in 2021. He's currently on his fifth-year option. He is an unrestricted free agent this year, so he would be considered a rental unless you're trading and extending the player. And to me, it's almost impossible to try to settle on this is what an extension for Jalen Phillips would look like. He was ranked 18th amongst pass rushers by Pro Football Focus at the beginning of the season, was ranked 10th a year ago, suffered a torn ACL in week 4, marking his second major injury in less than a year after tearing his Achilles in November 2023, was dominant in 2022, this is their characterization, with a 90.1 PFF pass rush grade. The potential is undeniable with Phillips, who will very soon turn 26, he is now already 26, but returning to form after back-to-back devastating injuries will be no easy task. So that is a gamble. Now, could it be a lower-priced gamble, maybe a buy-low opportunity for the Patriots? I would think that's probably how you would characterize that, but it's a guy who is solely, for me, in the rental category for now. You got to prove that you can play a full season and do it well before I'm looking at paying you at any kind of level like some of the elite pass rushers in the NFL are getting. Maybe there's a 1 year stopgap kind of extension that you could get out of it, a prove it deal that you could get. But again, I kind of come into that one with pessimism as it comes to it. But again, the top end for this player is undeniable. The problem is we just haven't seen it in two seasons. On we trudge to Aaron Schatz of ESPN. He says running back with a period at the end. A third back would be useful with Antonio Gibson out for the season, particularly someone who could contribute as a receiver and in the return game. Could the solution be in-house on Wednesday? The Patriots elevated Terrell Jennings and signed D'Ernest Johnson to the practice squad. So that is what Josh McDaniels alluded to in his press conference earlier this week. He said, we go into every season once we break camp, assuming that no additions are going to be made to our roster, which is a fair thing to say. But I don't think you can look at that group in the uncertainty of what's going on with Ramondre on top of losing Antonio Gibson and go, yeah, no, we still have the answers in house. And I really do think there are some intriguing candidates from around the league from some of the teams that are starting to fall off. But we'll get to that. Tyler Sullivan, CBS Sports, a guy that I think is a bit more realistic to fill that role of Antonio Gibson would be somebody like Jerome Ford of the Cleveland Browns, who was just on display a bit last week. He had two targets, caught one pass for negative 1 yards last week. Quinshon Judkins leaves the game with I believe it was a back injury, and he still can't get any carries. The game log for Jerome Ford this season, 6 carries, 8 yards. That was week 1. 6 carries for 31 yards in week 2 against Baltimore, does not get a carry in week 3. 1 carry for minus 1 yards, 5 for 18, 2 for 17, 1 for 0, and did not get a carry last week against the Patriots. So this guy, who coming into the season was kind of looked at as maybe a bit of a 1B to Dylan Sampson until the Browns figured out what to do with Quinshon Judkins, is now very much in a non-trusted third option for Cleveland. So that would definitely fit the idea of adding around the fringes. I think that's got to be the low bar that you shoot for in this situation. He rounds out your room, but does Jerome Ford really give you much more than Terrell Jennings is going to, than D'Ernest Johnson would? That I'm not overly convinced of. I would love to see another step up. I'm going to keep saying this until the deadline passes and they don't do it. I'm calling Carolina, and I'm asking, which one of these guys do you view as your starter, Chuba Hubbard or Rico Dowdle, and can I have the other one, and what does it cost? And you also have to remember, the Patriots have that back end of the draft pick depth that allows you to make one of these moves for a guy that I think is a little bit better than a guy like Jerome Ford. Your own first, your own second, your own third, two fourths, yours and Chicago's. You have your own fifth, your own sixth, as well as a sixth from Kansas City, your own seventh, and a seventh from New Orleans. That Bears pick is probably going to be towards the front of the first round, it looks like. And that Saints seventh is undeniably going to be at the beginning of the seventh. Not that it makes a huge difference. Right now, the Saints are at 216. You're at 244. Obviously, you're not going to get a lot more moving up, you know, 20, 25 spots in the seventh round. But I say that to say that you have that day two, day three pick depth in order to get something like that done. And maybe have a little bit more of a swing than a guy like Jerome Ford. I want to move down to something that was said by James Palmer, who is a part of Diana Rossini's podcast on The Athletic. Scoop City, the name. He said, I do think they, meaning the Patriots, are going, okay, maybe we've exceeded expectations quicker than we assumed, but we don't want to rent anybody. Anybody we're bringing in, we'd like to make sure they're an impact player, maybe for us in 2026, as well as perhaps past that. I think that might be what they're looking at. So rentals, for the time being, from what we know, are not a massive priority. It's not a mortgage the future in order to bring in a high leverage rental at this season's trade deadline. But what we still haven't had answered is this front office group, Elliot Wolf, Mike Vrabel, the entire group that Ryan Cowden, the kind of spare parts that they put together from two different regimes in the front office, do they have the stomach to make a significant move? If the Jets really are shopping Breece Hall, do the Patriots have the stomach to try to make a move of that significance? If the Bengals all of a sudden change their tune again and decide that Trey Hendrickson is available, or I know Ken Laird loves to talk about Myles Garrett being available. I mean, if that ever even remotely comes up in conversation. Or maybe you go to the Raiders and ask about Max Crosby, who has come up in different occasions as the Raiders continue to struggle to figure out what the hell they're going to be moving forward. Did the Patriots have the stomach to make that kind of impact move? I don't believe they do right now. And the reason I say that is because it's been over 2 years since the Patriots have acquired a player via trade. You have to go back to October of 2023. When they brought in J.C. Jackson from the Chargers, the last time that the Patriots actually acquired a player in a trade. Since then, it's been players out the door for mid to late draft picks, and that's just what they've done. From Mac Jones on down. Yes, Tom?
Wasn't J.C. Jackson also a returning Patriot at that time? So it's not like they got a new player, if I'm not mistaken. It was they got a guy who left, and then they brought him back via trade.
Right, and it was kind of a rescuing a hostage situation. Like, it was going terribly in Los Angeles, then he comes to New England, and then it continues to go terribly, and then it all just kind of falls apart. So you got to go back even further than that to find a player that actually had a significant positive impact. I know that things have changed significantly in that time. From October 2023 to where we are right now, things have changed exponentially. You've gone through a lot of franchise turnover to get to the point where you are. But do they really have the stomach right now where they are and where they think they're going to be for the next 5 to 10 years now in this Vrabel and May window that's been opened up this season to make that kind of move? I'm not convinced of it, but I'd like to know what you think. It's 617-779-7937. Who's on your trade deadline wish list? And do you think the Patriots have it in them to make the kind of move that kind of opens the eyes of those across the league and sends the signal, oh, this team is for real. They're going for it this year. I don't personally believe that they do, but I would love, L-O-V-E, love, to be proven wrong on that front. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to react to what experts around the NFL are saying about the Patriots at the trade deadline, and we'll also react to a pointed critique of Drake May that made the rounds on social media earlier this week. It was one of the most negative takes on a guy that has ascended through the quarterback ranks this season that I've read, but does it really carry any weight? We'll do all of that after Tom Cristofiulli gets you caught up on what's trending.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Celtics handed the 76ers their first loss last night in a thrilling 109-108 victory in which the Boston Celtics scored just one measly point in the final 3 minutes and 10 seconds of that game. They take on the Rockets tonight at 8 o'clock. The Bruins looking to win 2 in a row today as they take on the Hurricanes at 1. Still waiting to see who is in between the pipes for your Boston Bruins. The Patriots are set for their Week 9 matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. Ramondre Stevenson has already been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Falcons with a toe injury. And Boston College looks to end their 7-game losing streak today. They take on the 5-2 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Coverage starts right here on WEEI at 3 o'clock. In the best two words in sports, Game 7. The Dodgers managed to extend the series last night against the Blue Jays with a 3-1 win, forcing a Game 7 tonight in Toronto. And you'll be able to listen to that game right here on WEEI. Coverage starts at 7, directly after the Boston College football game. I'm Tom Cristofiulli, and that's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on WEEI, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're talking New England Patriots and decisions to be made ahead of the trade deadline in the NFL from the 774. Good morning, Dan. Good morning, 774. You mentioned Wolf before Vrabel, so you think he has more influence than we think he does. RKK, or we think he does RKK's bidding, but I feel Mike is more in control, hopefully. Yeah, that was nothing more than a slip of the tongue. I am in the camp that thinks that Elliot Wolf is a step above, hey, Mike, what's your coffee order this morning? I do think he has a role within this front office, and I think it's more the executor of the will of Mike Vrabel. I think it's just my personal opinion. And, you know, in talking to people around the building, you get various tidbits on what they hear, what they know, what they think, what their opinion is based on past experience, all that kind of stuff. I've kind of cobbled together the personal opinion that it is Mike Vrabel's vision on what he wants this roster to look like, what he thinks the culture should be, who he thinks the culture setters should be. And my guess would be that Elliot Wolf is the one that makes it happen, essentially. I need blank here, I need blank gone. Elliot, make this work. So my guess that I would, I guess, describe as semi-educated is that Vrabel and company identified Keon White and Kyle Duggar, and I don't think this popped up overnight. I think this is a long-standing thing. You look at the inactives from last week and you go, oh, okay, so maybe the writing has been on the wall for a little while. You look at that and then you look at the trades that are made. They identified these guys as they just don't fit what we're trying to do here. They are Keon White and Kyle Duggar two of the 53 most talented players in the Patriots organization coming out of last week? Yeah, probably. But are there detractors with what Vrabel is trying to do with this team, with this franchise, that made it so that they were all of a sudden expendable and you'd rather risk it with guys that are largely unproven in this league than run it back with veterans who have been here through multiple different regimes? The answer to that was yes. So my guess, again, is that Vrabel identified that to Wolf in the front office. His boy Stretch, who I also think has almost equally as significant of a voice in all of this as Wolf does. And between Stretch, Cowden, and Wolf, who I kind of lumped together as doing Mike Vrabel's bidding, they were able to get these deals done. So the question then becomes, does this triumvirate of leadership within the New England Patriots have what it takes to make significant moves? Let's go to the phones at 617-779-7937. We begin with David in Connecticut. Good morning, David.
Morning. Happy Saturday.
And to you, what's up?
Well, I have out-of-the-box thought for the Patriots. So rather than spend draft capital on a running back, especially in this league where it is running backs are, I want to say, a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I would rather take a chance signing someone like Frank Gore Jr. off Buffalo's practice squad. Sorry, I can't talk today.
No, it's okay. That's what the weekends are for.
And, right? So I'd rather take a chance with someone like that who had a good preseason a couple of years ago, who's buried behind James Cook on the team, so is unlikely to get on the roster and get playing time. I'd rather take a chance with somebody like that. And then as far as the Patriots being willing to pull the trigger, moving draft capital, if the reports are right that they offered a second for A.J. Brown, then I would say that they're probably willing, and I'd like to see them go after somebody like Myles Garrett or Crosby. Just that type of presence is going to help your secondary. So it would help alleviate the lack of safety, quality safeties on your team.
Absolutely, David. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And that is an interesting little wrinkle into all of this. If you are to believe what was coming out of Philly at the time, then, you know, there may be a little something to that. You know, Frank Gore Jr. is an interesting name that I have not heard brought up in the slightest in this, and he comes from a running back room that is very clearly set and probably not changing anytime soon. So coming out of Southern Miss, Frank Gore Jr., going back and looking at his stats real quick, 2023 as a junior, 1,131 rushing yards on 231 attempts and 10 touchdowns, had nearly 1,400 yards the year before. There was a good collegiate resume. And again, yeah, it just has not worked to where he's worked himself into what has become a pretty good run situation there in Buffalo. So I'm not above that. Again, it kind of comes back to I would love to see them take a swing on a guy who is more than just a dime a dozen. There are plenty of guys who you can just you could just throw in there to get carries. If you're going to do that, then just run Terrell Jennings, run D'Ernest Johnson, and just call it a day. And they very well, with the success of the passing game so far this year, much more so than I think a lot of us expected, they may just bring in serviceable enough running backs to get the job done, depending on how long Ramondre is dealing with injuries. But it's my own personal opinion as a opinion and want as a fan that you have the opportunity to do something that's a little bit more significant than that, where you can maybe limit how much of a risk you take by putting Ramondre out there if for some reason he goes through another stretch where he keeps putting the ball on the ground. And if Trayvon Henderson can't continue to progress as a guy who can run between the tackles and who you can only use either in the pass game or you know, running to the outside. If he doesn't progress this season, if it's more of a multi-year thing, then you have an opportunity to kind of round out that room and add a difference maker. But we'll see where they go in that regard. Appreciate the insight from David. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ball. This must be like therapy for you to come in and have your own show for 2 hours. You do a lot during the week. You do a great job during the week, dude.
Thanks, Matt.
I love Breece Hall. I love Jalen Phillips. I mean, unfortunately, I think the price in division is just going to be too rich because we're talking about two teams that probably don't want to deal with the Patriots in helping them. So
right.
With that being said, on tomorrow's game, I'm not super into analytics, but Penix is coming back, and Penix does not throw the ball over the middle. I don't know if it's not comfortable or whatnot, but he's always throwing outs and checking down. You look at last week when they played the Dolphins, obviously Cousins was in, but I think it's going to be a little more difficult tomorrow, but I think they roll tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Much appreciated. Yeah. I had them 28-17, 27-17, something like that when we made our picks this week. I'm not overly concerned about the state of this team. You do have to take into account Atlanta's ability just to limit on defense. They've had a pretty good season in that regard, but I'm more just looking at the home team and going, this team is on a significant roll right now. And a lot of it has to do with the quarterback, who was criticized by a guy whose name I had not heard of until this tweet started floating around at the end of last week. Scott Kazmaier, I believe is how you say it. Drake May is 1-for-9 in the NFL when he has to throw, or 1-and-9 in the NFL when he has to throw more than 26 passes in a game. He's also never won a game where the Patriots allowed more than 20 points, and he had to lead a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive. Low volume passer, beating up on bad teams with unsustainable deep ball success. Wake me up when he starts having to carry the team to wins. Long way to go to show he's the MVP of this league. And I read that, so that was in response to a conversation on Get Up earlier this week where they were talking about essentially the first half MVP of the league. They were going through the different quarterbacks that you can choose from and nominating, all right, this guy's my guy, this guy's that guy, whatever. And I believe it was Dan Orlovsky on Get Up who was the guy who vouched for Drake as the MVP of this league. Who, again, if you go and take a look, Tom, do we have that? Oh, we do. Okay, let's take a listen to that.
Not yet. I got to pull it up, though.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get that. Thumbs up means a lot of different things. So we'll grab that and take a look. But again, this is a guy who you're not going to find any lower than maybe fourth in MVP odds. So the financial side of things, Las Vegas views it that way. And I think a lot of analysts do as well. Let's take a listen to what they talked about earlier this week.
Jonathan's having an outstanding season. There's nothing that I can say in a negative fashion about him. The MVP of the NFL right now is Drake May. When it comes to the value that you are providing, giving just back to last year, given what's around you.
What a take.
Okay, so Drake May, one, Steph's coming off an ACL. Two, Kayshawn Booty's their number two receiver. He wasn't this highly drafted wide receiver.
True.
He's got two tight ends that are certainly longer in their careers than they are younger. Drake May's playing quarterback just about as good as anybody. With the least amount of help around him. Mm. When it comes to just talent, that's not a knock on those catches. Keeping it real.
Yeah, I don't know how you can look at it, and it's well put there by the Get Up crew. I don't know how you can look at 32-13 against Cleveland, 31-13 against Tennessee, a win against Buffalo, 42 points against Carolina. I don't know how you can look at some of these offensive efforts and go that Drake May has not carried the New England Patriots to a victory. And Here's where I kind of come away with this take. Look at the leading receivers for each game. If it's Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase every single week, just for an example. Or last year, you know, Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson, and you have the leading passer and the leading receiver being the same every single week. That suggests, obviously, a quarterback has a true number one receiver, and as much as the quarterback makes the receiver also makes the quarterback. The leading receiver for each of the Patriots' eight games so far, Booty, Stevenson, Henry, Diggs, Diggs, Booty, Diggs, Hollins. It has legitimately been, except for Stephon Diggs stringing 101 and 146 together in back-to-back games against Carolina and Buffalo, it has legitimately been a different receiver every single week from the last week leading the charge. That doesn't suggest to you that the quarterback is maximizing what he has around him in elevating this team and targeting the receiver that either has the hot hand or has the best matchup or just has the best connection week over week. I think it is absolutely crazy to make an argument that he hasn't carried this team to dominant wins this year. If we're talking about one field goal, one score wins against Tennessee and Cleveland and all these crappy teams, all right, that's fine. If every game looked like the Miami game earlier this year where you're winning, but you probably shouldn't have, then yeah, we're not talking about a guy who's having an MVP caliber season. But you're dominating bad teams, and it's because of how your quarterback is playing. Just because he's a low-volume passer doesn't mean that he's not having a historically accurate season. Drake May ranks number one among quarterbacks in highly accurate throw rate at 63%. Only two quarterbacks have a catchable ball rate above 80% through 2 months of the season. That's Drake May and Dak Prescott. These are incredible numbers when it comes to the efficiency with which Drake May works. You want to call it low volume, I call it efficient. With a running game that has been highly suspect. So your quarterback is making throws and creating chunk plays at a level that no other quarterback is in the league, and we're just going to say that he's a low volume passing merchant. I think that's a crazy thing to take away. The one criticism that he and the Patriots are going to face that I can't really fight against is the schedule that they've played so far. Once this team has to take on Tampa and Buffalo and Baltimore, then you'll actually see, all right, what's the difference between them being a playoff team and a legitimate Super Bowl contender? And this is a first half MVP candidate in Drake May versus a full season candidate in Drake May. That's what we're going to see moving forward. But to this point, with the sample size that we have in front of us, I think the naysayers are quickly running out of steam, and I do think you can poke holes in pretty much every one of the arguments you have against the Patriots quarterback. 617-779-7937. We can get to your Patriots calls and texts, but I also want to take a moment to hit on the World Series. Because for me, this series as a baseball fan and somebody who is just missing the hell out of Red Sox baseball in this last month, this has been an all-time fall classic for me. Two best words in sports, Game 7 coming up. What do these two teams tell me and tell us about the future of the Boston Red Sox? We'll compare and contrast two teams that are winning versus a team that is golfing, and we'll do that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on WEEI, before we get to the World Series in the state of baseball here in Boston, Massachusetts, let's get back to the phone, 617-779-7937. Michael is calling from a place that is near and dear to my heart, Hamden, Connecticut. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good. Actually, in this case, it's Hamden, Massachusetts.
Oh, it is. I was lied to behind the glass. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael.
No, that was my... He cut out at the last second. I didn't hear the Connecticut. I just heard the Hamden part.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, the Connecticut wasn't good.
Well, there you go. Either way, what do you got?
Connecticut, too. So I just wanted to just comment about Drake May and the quality of his competition. It's like, if you look at the strength of the schedule, it's true. But that's about the team, right? It's the strength of the team you're playing. But if you look at the quality of the defenses that he's played, that's what really matters, is if you're a quarterback. And Cleveland is one of the best defenses in the league. The quality of the defenses that he's played against have not uniformly been bad. They've been, you know, there have been some good teams. So I don't think you can just look at it and say, the quality of the teams he's played against has not been good. It's like, no, what is the quality of the defenses? And I wonder if you might have the data to back that up, but it was not nearly as bad as the overall teams have been, which takes into account their offense as well as their defense. But how good were those defenses? And I think some of them were pretty good.
Yes, they were. And Michael, thank you for the call. And I'm devastated that you're not from Hamden, Connecticut. I don't know how that happened. I double checked with the boys back behind the glass, and I had two hands in the air going, wait, we didn't know that either, when that was clarified. But no, it's a point that's well taken. And you look specifically, this is going to be the biggest test that the Patriots and Drake May have faced in terms of passing offense this week, as the Falcons are the only team in the NFL that's letting up less than 150 passing yards per game. Now, they can't score to save their life, but the defense has been pretty stingy in that regard. What was so fascinating about Cleveland coming into last week is their run defense was one of the best in the league, and they were at the time leading in terms of the least amount of yards allowed per game. That's a lot of words for one sentence, but they are now third in the league and moved back a couple of spots because of what the Patriots did to them. So you have had other groups that were well-regarded. Buffalo's kind of been up and down as a defense. You've also dealt with, and I think this is maybe the more apt comparison, you were dealing with a lot of stars in the pass rush position. You were dealing with TJ Watt and Max Crosby off the top, dealing with Myles Garrett. You've had players that can consistently create some problems for opposing quarterbacks, and it was really only the Myles Garrett challenge where you saw those kind of issues for the offensive line, and it was specifically the double teams that were taking place with the extra tight end added to the line. I think that they were trying to go with Jack Westover and Will Campbell to kind of double team Garrett, and it wasn't working. He'd beat one, then beat the other, then still be able to create some chaos. But despite having doubling his sack total from the season as a whole, Drake was still able to have a really good day. So, yes, he has faced some defenses that are certainly better than the overall ranking of the team, than the overall standing of the teams that they're facing. And Atlanta is certainly going to be another tough test with the most stingy pass defense in the league so far. Okay, to the World Series. Game 7 coming up this evening. I was dead set on Toronto having another 1993-type moment last night with runners on base in the bottom half of the ninth inning against Roky Sasaki, who was supposed to be the next godsend coming to the Los Angeles Dodgers, was supposed to kind of follow in the footsteps of Yoshinobu Yamamoto and be a significant part of this rotation. But with the bullpen issues that Los Angeles is having this season, he has gone from a cast-off in the minor leagues to kind of a significant late-innings reliever for this group. He didn't have it yesterday, and I think that was pretty clear, but he was able to get out of jams in the eighth, and then they end up removing him for Tyler Glasnow in the bottom half of the ninth inning, which makes today a really, really fascinating decision, managerially speaking, for Dave Roberts, because you were supposed to see Tyler Glasnow, in theory, based on the scheduling, start Game 7. Now it is Shohei Ohtani, who is your probable starter to begin Game 7, with Dave Roberts saying he could go two innings, he could go four innings, but he was certainly going to be part of the pitching plan for this group going into Game 7. And Mad Max Scherzer, on the other side of things, for the Toronto Blue Jays, in what to me has been a series, and I was shooting back and forth with Ted Johnson last night while the end of the game was going on. And you think back in hindsight, could you have put together a better World Series matchup than the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers? I don't think there's another team in the American League, even including the Red Sox, given where they were going into October, that I would have rather seen on this stage than Toronto. Houston, I'm sick and tired of. Seattle's offense, they play a pretty low event style. The entire AL Central, I could do without. And the Yankees, we saw what happened last year. They crumbled when they actually faced a real opponent in the Los Angeles Dodgers. The American League representative is the team I would want. Would this be pretty electric to see Toronto fans versus Philly fans? Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet. But other than Philly was really the only team that jumped to mind, this has been an instant classic. And in examining the Toronto Blue Jays, because you want to relate this back to the Boston Red Sox, and we're kind of up against it here, so we can get into this in future weeks. You don't have to spend money at the level of the Dodgers to be successful. The New York Mets had a top three payroll in baseball, and they missed the playoffs this year. So you don't have to be one of one, spending what was this year $350 million if you're the Dodgers. The Blue Jays spent $255, which was fifth most in baseball, and the Red Sox were kind of in the middle tier of teams. But you have to at least invest a little bit in the two things that I think separate the Blue Jays and the Red Sox in looking at these two teams side by side. You have to invest in star power. There is nobody on the Red Sox even remotely close right now to what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is. Nobody close. If you fantasy drafted the Blue Jays and the Red Sox and created an ultra lineup, how many players for the Blue Jays would go before you picked a Red Sox? Healthy in October, that is. Roman Anthony would go off the board early, but you'd probably pick Guerrero, probably pick playoff Springer, may even pick Bichette. Because then you're getting into, all right, so Story and Duran and the guys that were kind of carrying the freight and injured and shell of himself, Alex Bregman. My point is, the Blue Jays have the star power that the Red Sox are lacking, and they have the playoff veteran leadership that the Red Sox were lacking this year. And those are two things that do not come cheaply. So I think what Toronto has put together this year, because they've actually leaned on some of their draft picks and some of these kind of young and forgotten, their version of a Romy Gonzalez, for example, they've leaned on those players more so than some of their highest paid players. Anthony Santander, they signed in free agency, was making over $16 million, not on the roster. Jose Barrios was out of the rotation and kind of out of the mix at the beginning of the playoffs, and now he's on the injured list. Bo Bichette is not playing his natural position. He's playing second base because Andrés Giménez, who has bounced around from team to team to team, is your starting shortstop. Chris Bassitt, your fourth highest paid player, $22 million. He's out of the bullpen. Hadn't pitched in a month before the ALCS. So it's not even like they've had these home run investments. They've spent a lot of money and not a lot of it wisely, but they have star power and they have guys that have done it in the playoffs previously. And those are two things that you can't just manifest. You can't develop. You know, you can't have a computer program make a guy clutch in the playoffs, make a guy a superstar when it matters most. And so this has shown me that the gap between the Red Sox entering this offseason and the true powers of baseball may be a little bit bigger than we gave it credit for. You need to take, pun intended, a huge swing on a middle of the lineup hitter this offseason in order to be able to come into next year going, hey, I can compete with the Blue Jays. I can compete with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Phillies and these other teams that are going to come in, the Padres, the teams that are consistently star-laden around the conversation, consistent playoff contenders. You have a lot of the depth that you need, but you're still missing that really, really big star. And to answer your question, no, I wouldn't want it to be Rafael Devers. I want somebody who actually wants to be in Boston and be part of a winning culture. So how do you find that? I'm not sure, but a big offseason ahead for Craig Breslow. We will take a break here on WEEI as we get into the 12 o'clock hour. I got you up until 1 o'clock here this afternoon. We'll get into the Boston Bruins, the three stars of the season so far, the top of which is a guy who I drastically underestimated heading into the season. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.